Good morning. What a beautiful day the Lord has provided for us today. If you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, how's the weather going to be August the 19th? I'd have said 105, 110, and I think supposed to be 82 or 83 degrees for a high today. Did the sound just go down? Okay, it's my producer back there, I think. We are certainly happy to have those that are visiting with us today. Roy's so happy when we have visitors to come to worship with us as we honor God in our worship on this first day of the week. As we have come around this table to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us. To sing songs to God. Such a great time for us to come together to worship Him. Today we're going to spend a few minutes talking about God's love. Obviously, we have a manifestation of that right before us as we have remembered that great sacrifice. As we go back, starting with, as we talked about in class, with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve weren't perfect. They weren't any more perfect than we are. But as we come through the Bible, we see Noah and his family are the only ones that God didn't destroy in the flood. We see Him going forward. He threatened more than once, and Moses pleaded, please don't destroy your people. God's love is so abounding that He wants all men and women to obey the invitation, what He has commanded us to do. In John, the third chapter, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, so often it seems like I've heard the question or the comment made, I think if I had to do what God did, or if I had to do what Abraham did with his son Isaac, I don't know if I could do that. The great news is, we don't have to worry about sacrificing our son or daughter. God sent Jesus to take our sins to the cross. How could there be greater love for you and me and all mankind, that you would send your son down from heaven? That's a concept that we can say, but to really fathom what that means, I can't really fathom such a glorious place as heaven and then coming down here. But that's what Jesus was willing to do. Even though men hated Him to the point that they would beat Him, that they would lead Him to the cross and crucify Him there for each one of us. That's a love that is so deep. I just can't hardly understand why God would love us that much. But praise God, He did love us that much. In Romans 5, 6 and 10, we see that there were, it's described to us how God demonstrated His love for us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Is that not frightening to be thought of as an enemy of the Almighty God? That's not a position that any mortal person wants to be in. We want to do everything we can to please Him, because He has given us such a great opportunity. If we will accept His commandments, then beyond this life, such a greater life that is described in the Bible in words, in human words, that sounds wonderful, but we know it is so much greater than even human words can describe. And in 1 John, the 4th chapter, starting in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Love is something that term in our society is so overused and misused. We have people declaring love for each other openly in this country, contrary to what the Word of God says that love is, contrary to the institution of marriage that God set up for you and me. Love, God showed us by willing to send His Son to die on Calvary. Is that something that we like to talk about, that we're sinners? I haven't very, very seldom in my life had someone come up to me and say, "Hi, I'm a sinner." We don't do that, do we? Do we acknowledge that to God, that we sin? If we don't acknowledge that we're sinners, let me read to you from 1 John, the 1st chapter, in verse 5. "This is a message which you have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us." If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. I don't want to be an enemy of God, and I don't want to be somebody that calls God a liar. Because I know that I am not perfect. I would hope, as we were talking in the auditorium class this morning about discipline and education, I would hope as I have gotten older, the lessons of this life has taught me many things, that trying to live a Christian life, as I was saying, I just realized that was 50 years ago, I was baptized. Hopefully, we recognize sin more than we did when we first became Christians. Because I'm afraid too often we're letting the world come into our lives and we're letting the world lead us in the wrong direction away from God. And we sometimes don't realize that we're sinning. Because guess what? So-and-so does it. So-and-so does it. And all of a sudden we let that start happening to us. It just becomes accepted action on our part. We need to go back to God's Word and see what is acceptable. And very plainly in Romans, the 3rd chapter, Paul tells the Romans about sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, we all sin. We need to make sure that we go and we confess our sins. We go to God in prayer. If we sin against one of our brothers, we need to go to them and work things out. Sin is this world. And we have to make sure that as we are to not be part of this world, we have to be a peculiar people. Those that would recognize He's trying to follow God. He's trying to be like Jesus. He's trying to be like Paul. He's not trying to be like his neighbor. What is our condition without God? In Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded to death, but spirituality minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anything does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If we allow ourselves to be carnally minded, those things of the world, those things of the earth, those things of a sinful nature, if we're not fleeing from those evil things, from those sinful things in our life, then we're not going to be able to please God. Another frightful thing for us to think about. And again, very plainly, James tells us in James, the 4th chapter, adulteresses and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Enmity with God. A lost condition that someone that is away from God, that has separated themselves, that doesn't really see any reason why they would want to be a Christian. In Romans, the 6th chapter. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism in the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. How often do we take a look at our lives? We're told to examine ourselves. For those of us that are Christians, do we take a look at the life that we're leading, the example that we're setting for others? We have to do that because we're human. We are human. And we have an opportunity because God sent His Son to be a sacrifice for us, to still, on Judgment Day, stand before Him and have Him tell us we're going to receive that reward of heaven. Wash away your sins. That's how we correct a lost condition. Or if we have been a wayward Christian and we've allowed the world to come between us to God, and God considers us His enemy. Paul, who, if you study about Paul, you just cannot really understand what that man went through for the Lord. Because you know what? I don't think any of us have been beaten with a chain or whip or the whips that they had, where they had the little bone piece on the end and take your flesh off. Haven't been in prison, not because that we did something wrong, but that because we were preaching about Jesus. Shipwrecked in the deep, chased out of town, stoned. How can we relate to that? I can't relate to that. I'm thankful I live in this country, that we can come here and we can worship God as He has commanded us, without fear of somebody busting through that door and taking us off and putting us in prison, and before they do that, beating us. And with all that Paul had been through, he says, "Now I do this for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul, the great apostle, and the person that just kept going straight forward. God gave him an assignment to preach to the Jews and then the Gentiles, and there wasn't going to be anything that kept him from that. We see at times he had to be let down in a basket over the wall. He had to be diverted to another place because someone was out to kill him because he was preaching about Jesus Christ. He didn't think that he had it won. He wasn't overconfident. He said, I buffet my body daily to bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We all, I think, want to tell others about Jesus. We can't put ourselves in the position where the world is so much in our lives that we tell somebody about Jesus and then someone sees us in a situation that is so sinful that it could cause us to lose that home in heaven. Is somebody going to listen to you if that's the example that you're setting? And definitely cannot become overconfident. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, as they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. There is no retirement from being a Christian. I found out that I liked retiring so much from the working world, I did it twice. But you know what? There is no retirement in being a Christian. God expects us to run that race until that day we cross that line and we are in heaven. If we stop back here 10 feet short, that's not completing the race. We all have to do that. In James 1:12, remember, Paul says it's not a perishable crown, but an imperishable crown. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And we're told if we love him, we will obey his commandments. That's fairly simple, isn't it? That's fairly simple. That's every day of the week. We don't take vacations from God. God expects us to live a life every day of our lives that He is the focus of our lives. Seeking the kingdom of God has got to be the goal of every person on this earth. Every person. If that is not our goal, then we're going to allow other things to come between us and getting the crown of life. In Romans 8, in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword? That is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God's love is for you. God's love is for me. God's love for mankind was so manifested. How can we possibly not love Him in return? In Matthew 11th chapter, Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, gives an invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation is not from me. It's not from anybody here. It's not from anybody on this earth. That is the invitation of Jesus to come unto Him. It is a opportunity that we have today. As we go through this life, we see sometimes, as they say, our life flash before our eyes. I think you could ask Kelly and Penny about their recent experience of having a semi run into the rear of their car. Praise God that they were okay. Every day we see people dying on our highways. We see so many diseases. We see cancer conquering so many people on this earth. We have to make sure that we are standing right in front of God, that we are loving one another, that we love God, and that we're living the type of life that people can look at us and say, that's a Christian. That's somebody trying to be like Christ. If there's anybody that's subject to that invitation, or if you've allowed yourself to wander and become part of this world and you want to come back, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.